we are in a season of the year, the calendar year, and also the church year that we call Advent. And Advent is a word that means waiting or preparation. And so for hundreds of years, for centuries, the Israelite people were waiting for their King, King Jesus, to come. And he is the one that came on Christmas morning. By the way, we are taking our offering right now. And guests, please don't feel any obligation or pressure to give, even though I am holding fire in my hand right now. Don't feel any pressure at all. We are so grateful to have you. We'd love to have those Connect cards filled out, and you can put those in the offering plates as they go by. Thank you so much for your generosity. If you're live streaming with us, we want to welcome you today as well. So can we welcome them right now? And we'd love for you to be a part of our giving as well, which you can do online through the Give Now button. But each of these candles, for centuries, there's been a tradition where we light candles. Every Sunday, we light a new candle as we get closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. And as the Israelites were waiting for their king, we're also in a time where we're waiting for King Jesus to come back and make everything right. And so we light these candles as a reminder. And the first candle that we lit two Sundays ago was this candle, the purple candle, the first one that represents what word? Hope. And we got hope in this place, right? And the second week, last week, we lit the second candle, and that second candle represents what? Peace. We have peace in this place. And the third candle, which I don't know why this one's pink. I don't understand a lot of how they do it, but the third candle, which is pink, represents what? Joy. Good. You're all right. You all get a gold sticker. Joy. We have joy in this place. No matter what is going on in our crazy, messy, chaotic world, no matter what happens in this crazy, messy, chaotic season, we have joy because Jesus is our King and he came for each one of us. Amen. So really excited. You get to hear again from Mark Crossman this week. It's been the first time in 5.5 years that I've had two Sundays off in a row, and it's been great for me. It's been awesome. We've actually been doing a ton of planning over the last couple of weeks. On Thursday and Friday, we had a two-day, we called it a retreat, but it wasn't really a retreat. We basically planned out the 2017 year and have a lot of things in place already. And I just want to tell you, I am so pumped to come back and preach the 18th and Christmas Eve and to lead us into the new year. But I am so pumped for the vision that this church has in the next year and beyond. God is going to do amazing, incredible things. And it's awesome. The staff, the team, the leaders, you guys, the volunteers, this church, God is going to take us to new places that we've never been before. And it's going to be very, very amazing what God does in the years to come. So with that, let's welcome back to the stage the one and the only. And I think we're in agreement that he is a one and only sort of guy, Mark Crossman.
Yeah. All righty. So Pastor Zach had an amazing week. I had an awful week. You know what? Filling in for Pastor Zach once in a while is tricky enough. Having to fill in for him twice in a row is a real challenge. So my prayer life jumped a couple of notches this week. I walk by faith, not by sight. We are really blessed to have an amazing pastor and communicator and Pastor Zach. So let's just give it to him this morning. Love him so much. Alrighty, so now that I've... complimented my boss. We can move on with the service. So the title of our message this morning is Messy World. And we're busy talking about Christmas, and we're busy talking about the fact that a lot of us, when we think about Christmas and when we think about specifically the idea of Jesus and the Jesus story, we have these really romantic ideas about the sweet, cuddly, cute little baby, in like a barnyard, but somehow it's a sweet, cute, beautiful barnyard with loving little animals, and it just smells all pumpkin spice latte-y in the barn. It's beautiful, it's nice. And then when you think about our own Christmases, we want Christmas to be perfect, and it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be amazing, and we're going to have both sets of in-laws sitting at the same table. Nothing can go wrong with this. It's going to be amazing times. And just like in the Jesus story, and I'm going to point something out for you now, where things were not perfect, as a matter of fact, things were actually quite chaotic. In that same way, Christmas sometimes for us is not so perfect. It can be extremely stressful. It can be extremely a time where things don't go exactly as it is planned. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say that there's a statistic out that says this, even though I don't know this at all. I think I just heard this somewhere, but I think depression actually goes up over Christmas time because people feel pressure, people feel alone, people feel like things don't work out the way it should work out. So we're going to pick up this morning from Matthew 2, verses 13 to 16. And normally in church, we read a lot out of the NIV version. This morning, I'm going to use the New King James Version a couple times in my message because it just works nicely for my message. And it's the gospel according to Mark for a reason. So, okay, so Matthew 2, verses 13 to 16, and it says this. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt. Isn't it amazing how Egypt is the place the Israelites needed to get away from? Now Egypt is the place God wants to protect the promise he gave to the Israelites. I want to tell you, God is capable of doing anything he wants to do. Let's not ever put a limit on what God is capable of doing. So it says here, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned with the Magi. So, this is what's happening right here in this moment. The king gets word of the fact that there's another king coming. There's a savior coming. There's this big person coming, and he wants to stop that from happening. So what he does is he puts out the order that Jesus needs to be killed as a baby. He needs to stop this thing quickly before it evolves, before it grows. But just in case we don't know exactly who Jesus is, we're going to go and we're going to kill all the babies. So all the babies in the region under the age of 2 years old, all the sons, we're going to go and we're going to kill them all. I know at times it feels like politically we are in a difficult situation right now. But I want to tell you, this is not the worst the children of God has ever had to face. There have been some very rough times in history, and this is one of those times where Jesus is about to happen in the world. The promise God had for his children is about to come to pass, but now the world goes into total chaos and total anarchy. And obviously what we see is God removes Joseph, God removes Mary, and he puts them in Egypt in a secret safe location where his promise can work its way through into a broken, messy world. What I want to speak to you about this morning is, where is my Egypt? And if you want to, you can almost retitle the message that this morning is, where is my Egypt? Where is my safe space? Where is the place I can go to? Where is the hiding place I can find in my life when everything goes crazy and nothing wants to work out? I don't know about you, but I know in my own life, man, there are times where I just want to go, right? I just want to go, get on the 441, take a drive. Don't even know where it's going to go. I'm just going to go because it's so much pressure. It's so frustrating. It feels like things just don't want to work out. You're feeling low. You're feeling weak. You're feeling unappreciated, whatever it is that you're going through. And you feel like you want to escape. But here's the reality. You cannot escape because your life is too busy. There's too much going on in your life. There's too many responsibilities. So my question then becomes, how do I escape myself without escaping myself? That's the question this morning, and we're going to look at that, and we're going to get into that. So as I was thinking through this question of where's my hiding place, where's my secret place, where's my refuge, where do I find joy in a crazy world, it reminded me of a time when I was back in South Africa, and God showed me something so special and so significant that I want to share this with you today. But it was a Thursday afternoon. I don't know if it was a Thursday, but it's just great to start a story by saying it was such and such an afternoon. And I was alone at home, and I was busy cleaning the floors. Ladies and gentlemen, I clean the floors in my house because this is what me and my wife have decided. I clean the floors. I'm a great vacuumer. Kind of feels like you're mowing the lawn, but it's on the inside. You're just kind of mowing the carpet. It's great. And then I mop the floors, and I do all this stuff. So I was in there. And also, as the husband, as the man of the house, I take care of the foundations of the family. So I do the floors. And I was in there doing the floors, and it just so happened to be around the time when it was the Beijing Olympics. greatest Olympics ever. It was on TV, and I absolutely love sports. If there's sports on television, I will watch it. If the sport is, let's see, you can break a twig the quickest, I will watch the twig breaking contest because I just want to see who lives. So I love watching sports. The Olympics was on, and the Olympics is an amazing opportunity just to watch sports, even if you don't understand what the sport is or what's going on. So I kind of had it on, and at this particular moment, the sport that was on TV was the pole vaulting event. It was the women's final pole vaulting. In Africa, pole vaulting hasn't really become a real big thing. It's just not that big over there. As a matter of fact, as a child, I was told not to run very fast with sticks in front of me because they can poke through my neck and I would die. So we don't do a lot of that where I come from. But needless to say, I was watching the pole vaulting, and as I'm watching this whole thing, all of a sudden they keep on talking about this lady called Elena Isimbayeva. I've practiced for 4 weeks to say the name, so don't try to repeat it. Elena Isimbayeva was in this competition, and what was weird about it, and this is sort of what kind of caught my attention as I was mopping the floor, is she had already won the gold medal. So I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So she's won the gold medal, but she's still at the games, just sitting there watching everybody else go for second and third. My first thought was she was mocking the losers, because that's what I would do. I would just hang around and watch and go, good jump, number five, well done. You're going to lose no matter what happens here today. So I'm watching this whole thing, and it turns out what's happening is that in the Olympics, unless you fall out, you can go forever. So they could still be doing the Beijing Olympics now if you never fall out. It just goes on forever. You have to fall out if you don't choose to take yourself out. So what was happening is that she had decided that she was going to go for the world record. And it then turns out, wait for it, that Elena Isimbayeva had broken the world record 19 times. This woman is insane. She is the greatest pole vaulting phenomenon. I've never heard of her. But now as I'm busy mopping the floor, I'm getting really excited and I'm getting really pumped up for Russia, which I've never been to. But now I'm excited for my homeland, adopted home country, Russia, and Elena Isimbayeva, who's going to break the world record. I really get into sports when I watch it, and I really get into movies when I watch it. Like, one of the things I'll do with movies is I'll nominate which character I am in the movie before the movie starts. Do you ever do this? No, none of you do. Because that way, it's actually very clever, because that way, if your character does something well, you kind of pretend like you did it. Does that make sense? No. For example, we're busy watching Lord of the Rings right now, me and Amanda. We're only allowed to watch it every 2 years. And every time we watch it, I say to Amanda, I am Aragorn in the movie. So Aragorn is the head greatest character in the movie. So I always say to her, I'm Aragorn because I'm a man and I sort of have a beard, and so it's perfect. It's a perfect match. I am him. Then she always says to me, you're a lot more like Sam the Hobbit, Ganji. And I'm like, so you're saying I'm a chubby sidekick hobbit. Nothing about that is my life. Anyhow, so I'm watching this whole thing, and all the other contestants are done, and there's 90,000 people jammed into the stadium in Beijing. I've never been more excited. There's cameras, millions watching, commentators. It's all happening. Every other event is finished now, and we are ready for Elena Isimbayeva to try this thing. So she goes to the top of her run. She takes a run at it, and she fails dismally. I mean, it was like the worst jump ever. I think I could have done better. So I'm like, okay, that wasn't great. Little less excited now. She goes again, second time, takes the jump, misses it completely. Terrible jump. She now goes to the up to a run for the third time, and this is where the story gets interesting. I've never seen anything like this, and I've watched a lot of sports in my life, ladies and gentlemen. Here's what happens. Full stadium. Thousands of people, anticipation, so much stress, so much vibe. I'm like this. And she sits down in the middle of this 90,000-seater stadium, and she starts constructing, which I can only explain to you is like a tent. It's almost like she starts building this weird origami blanket tent. I've never seen anything like this. She goes and sits down. She's got like 20 little blankets, little towels, and she makes this little thing. It's like she's in this little teepee, and now millions of people are watching a towel ball on a field. And I'm like, pole vaulting is amazing. Where has this been my whole life? So I'm watching this thing, and she's just in there. I don't know what she's doing. She's snapping a selfie, hashtag world record time. I don't know what's happening in this tent. But I can tell you this. A couple of minutes later, she emerged out of this tent. And I know the look, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen the look. I've seen the look in my wife's eyes as well. It's a look that says, I've had enough of your nonsense. I've had enough of all of this. Right now, things are happening. So she came out of the tent and she jumped so high that she actually went into orbit and she just floated off into space. And we don't know where she is today, but she won the gold medal. She shattered the gold medal and it was one of the most amazing things ever. And it's in that moment, as I'm watching this whole thing unfold, God just sort of drops this scripture in my heart. And I went immediately, actually, I was busy yelling, screaming, so excited about Russia. And as he drops it in my heart, I went and I read it and it says this, Psalm 91. And we're going to look at this a little bit today. It says this, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. My entire life, up until that point, whenever I had heard this piece of scripture before, I was completely convinced that what the scripture had spoken about was removing yourself from your situation physically and finding a nice, quiet, peaceful place somewhere and just kind of hiding out in that place until the carnage, which is your life, kind of settles down and goes away. It is in that moment when Yelena Essenbayeva went into her secret space in the middle of breaking a world record, in the middle of a 90,000-seater stadium, in the middle of everything else that was going on. God just dropped this truth in my heart that the secret place is not a geographical location, but the secret place is a state of heart. And it's somewhere as believers we can go, not away from the world, but in the middle of it. It is in the middle of your drama that you can go to the secret place. It is in the middle of the world that is messy and crazy and nothing is working out that you can go into your secret place. The secret place is not us running like fugitives away from what's going on, but the secret place rather is that place we go to as believers, as Christians, in the middle of the carnage, in the middle of the chaos. The secret place this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is that place where we trust fully in His ability and what He has done, not in our ability and in what we have to do. The secret place is a state of heart. It's a way of thinking. It's when we shift from our house that is built on the sand, which is our ability to get things done, and we shift to the house that is built on the rock, which is Christ and everything that He has done. The secret place is not about living in the present. The secret place is about living in the past. There's something that you never hear. I want to encourage you to stop living in the present. I want you to start living in the past. It's when we're in the present, this is what we think and this is what we say. I have to, I have to, I have to, I have to. When we live in the past as Christians, it is He has already, He has already, He has already, He has already. It's about moving away from having a sign that says under construction to putting a sign up that says it is finished. Not because my life is perfect, but because I now partake in the victory and in the joy and in the peace of who He is and not who I am. Man, it's powerful stuff. In the middle of the messiness, in the middle of the drama, there's a place we can escape to. Here it is, before Jesus, maybe we needed to escape to a faraway land called Egypt. Because of Jesus, there is an Egypt on the inside of us now. There's a place where God hides you on the inside in the midst of the chaos and the drama that is your life. It is an incredible thing. Not only are we safe, not only are we protected, but we can be productive. And we can be more productive than we've ever been in our lives when we are in the secret place. Now, I want to break this down a little bit more, so we're going to move on. Next thing I want to look at you quickly is that word abide. It says that when we dwell in the secret place, we will abide. So in other words, living in that space where we trust Him has natural consequences. When we live in the secret place, when we dwell in the secret place, the consequences of that is we will abide. And I found this word abide somewhere else, and this is very interesting. Look at what it says here. John 15, verses 3 to 6. And this is Jesus speaking, and he says this, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." I want to focus on this piece of scripture specifically. Listen to what Jesus says. "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Now, I'm going to explain to you why this is good news and why this is not bad news. But I've got to start off by telling you what this doesn't say. This is not saying in order to abide in me, you have got to produce fruit. You've got to catch this. You've got to catch this because a lot of you are living your life this way. This is not saying, listen carefully this morning, it is not saying in order to abide in me, you have to produce fruit. It is saying when you abide in me, you shall produce fruit. Okay, so stop looking at me with that tone. Okay, so let's talk about the fruit quickly, because the fruit is exciting. There's some exciting fruits. Galatians 5 verses 22 to 23. What fruit is the Bible speaking about this morning when it's speaking about fruit? Galatians says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." I want to tell you this morning that there was a time in my life where this scripture was the furthest thing from good news. As a matter of fact, it was bad news, and it felt very condemning every time I read it. And I'll tell you why. Because I would read the fruit of the Spirit, and this is what I would think to myself. Okay, the Bible is saying in order for me to be a good Christian, I need to have love, joy, peace, self-control happening in my life. Here's my problem. This is my fundamental problem. I am terrible at all of them. I'm not even a little bit good at one of them. I'm awful at all of them. So what I would do is I would read this piece of scripture and I would go, "Well, Lord, I want to abide in you. So this week, the little project I'm giving myself, my little homework lesson to myself, is I'm going to love everyone." Good. Okay, God, let's do this. Then I would go to work and I'd walk into the office and there would be a coworker that comes to me and goes, "Hey, buddy, you'll never believe this. I got a massive promotion and a raise." And then I would go, "Yes, love. I love you, man. So happy for you, bro. Like, awesome. Like, you got that promotion, even though I know I worked harder. And I know that I've been here longer than you. And I know that I feel like I deserve it better. But you know, I'm so just thrilled for you because it's about love. And I'm going to love you right now. But actually, I'm feeling really bitter. And I'm feeling really angry. And I'm feeling really upset. And I'm feeling like nobody listens to me. And I'm invisible. And I'm actually getting a little tense right now. And I can't even focus. And everything is blurry. And I'm going to tell my wife that my world is over." And then I get in the car and I realize I completely flopped at this love thing again. So we'll try the fruit of the Spirit again next week because I failed at it again this week. I want to tell you this morning that the fruit of the Spirit is not your responsibility. The fruit of the Spirit is your birthright. The fruit of the Spirit is your birthright. It's not your fruit. Come on. Come on now. It's not your fruit. It's not your tree. It is the fruit of the Spirit that lives on the inside of you. It is when we live our lives where our trust is in Christ, we gain supernatural access to the fruit that belongs to Him. It's His love. It's His peace. It's His joy. It is not yours. And if you could produce it, then there would be no need for the Savior. You cannot produce this in your own ability. You cannot produce this in your own strength. I kind of thought about this morning while I was preparing. I looked at the Christmas tree and I thought to myself, you know what? I've actually lived a Christmas tree kind of a faith a lot of my life. There's a couple of things that I think about when I think about a Christmas tree. The first thing I think about is the fact that it's really pretty, right? Christmas tree is really pretty. Look, it sparkles and it looks so nice on the outside. For some of us, our Christianity is so sparkly and so pretty and so nice on the outside. We have joined a home group. We go to church and we say words like hallelujah, eagle, mountain, anointing. So we look amazing on the outside. But here's some of the other things about a Christmas tree. The next thing is that it is tiring. And it's a lot of work and it's a lot of effort. I don't know about you, but man, I get all excited about putting up the Christmas tree until I'm scratching around in the garage and there's little pine needle things in my eyes and it's frustrating and it's dusty and my wife doesn't like where I've put it and I've got to disassemble the thing and put it up somewhere else. It is a lot of work and can be very frustrating putting the tree up. I want to tell you, trying to produce the fruit of the Spirit outside of Christ is going to be a tiring exercise in your life. It is not sustainable. It would look good for a while, but it's going to fizzle out because it's not sustainable. The next thing it is expensive. Man, let's quickly go down to Walmart and spend $1 million on a Christmas tree. It is a lot of money. And some of us have put a lot of time, a lot of finances, and a lot of efforts into producing things like joy in our lives. But here's what you've managed to produce. You've produced a little bit of happiness that fades and there's no joy. Because no amount of money can produce joy. Because money is based upon things that are based upon the world we live in and the circumstances we find ourselves in. The last thing that I've realized about a Christmas tree is that there's always a January around the corner. Baby, baby, baby. Doesn't matter how much work you've put into it. Doesn't matter how beautiful it looks. Doesn't matter how much money you've spent on it. January will always come knocking on the door and then you've got to break that whole thing down and put it away. There is nothing, ladies and gentlemen, that you can produce in your own efforts and in your own ability, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much it costs you, that can produce an eternal, everlasting, life-giving fruit. It is only in Christ and through accessing His fruit from the Spirit that lives on the inside of us that we can have access to supernatural things that last forever. It is only in that place. What does this mean? What this means is that you can be going through the toughest time of your life but still have peace because the peace you're accessing is not your peace. It is His peace. What this means is that you can have a teenager in the house that hates everything, appreciates nothing, and you can be very frustrated at times, and it can be very difficult at times, and at times love feels like a distant feeling that's kind of flying away like a beautiful little bird, but you have the ability to love with an agape love, a selfless love, a Jesus kind of a love, because it's not my love, it is His love. I'm simply stepping into His space and allowing Him to love through me. I am accessing the fruit that is already available in my life. I'm not trying to eat the ornaments off of the Christmas tree because that's what some of us do. The love you are capable of producing in your own life is the equivalent of you taking the shiny star off of the tree and trying to eat it and trying to find life from it. It is going to make you sick and it's going to put you in the hospital and it's going to tire you out and it's going to make you look silly. It is only eating a real apple that will produce real life. It is only Jesus that can plant trees that produce fruit and not just ornaments that look good. Oh, baby. I know this because I've lived this for a very long time. For a very long time, I've lived in that space where it's all been about me. It's been about me. It's been about my ability to produce things that look great on the outside, but it doesn't last and it fizzles and it fades because it is only His fruit that ultimately has the power to transform us. It is only His fruit ultimately that has the ability to give us peace. You know what's so amazing about the fruit of the Spirit? And this is something that I noticed a while back is self-control is one of the fruit of the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? You know, and I say it's amazing because a lot of the fruits of the Spirit, if you look at it, you go, well, love, joy, peace, it's all these kind of liquidy concepts. But self-control, surely to goodness is my responsibility, right? As a Christian. Surely, if nothing else, it is my responsibility to have discipline and to live out the things that God has called me to do through discipline. I've got to pick up my cross and I've got to be disciplined in my walk and it's up to me and it's my job. He was good to me in the beginning, but now it's my job to be disciplined and to live for Him. I want to tell you that I am not a very disciplined person, but I have access to a Jesus kind of a discipline that is on the inside of me. And it gives me the ability to be as disciplined as I need to be, because it's not mine, it is His. Can you imagine how disciplined Jesus was? I mean, we're talking about Christmas. Can you imagine for 1 minute Jesus at the dinner table over Christmas, and Uncle Bob is there and he's had too much to drink, and now he's going to tell the whole family about the creation of the world, and he studied it out and it's actually science and there was no God involved. Can you imagine Jesus sitting there going, "Bob, I was there, bro. I was there, man. Like, will you please shut up? You don't know what you're talking about. And if you keep on talking, I'm going to turn you into a frog. But anyways, I'll tell you what, like, I'm going to discipline and restrain my tongue and be loving, because that's who Jesus was. That same Jesus with those same fruits is on the inside of you. And when we dwell in the secret place, when we live our lives not focused on what we're capable of doing, but focused on what He has already done, and trusting in that, we gain access to those fruits that we can start to pick and pluck off of that lives on the inside of us. I remember South Africa, we do not have 24-hour convenience stores like you guys do in America, which I love 24-hour convenience stores. I will go to Walmart sometimes late at night, not because I'm buying anything, just because I'm like, wow, it's open. It's so amazing. It's just open. This place never closes. It's so, I just want to walk around and be here, because it just feels like I'm a part of something by being here, right? So in South Africa, we didn't have that. We had shopping malls and we had gas stations, and gas stations were typically the only things that were 24 hours. So one time in back home, what happened was, is a gas station close to us made the decision that they were going to have a 24-hour convenience store in the gas station. Why this was amazing news for me is not so much because it was a 24-hour store, but because it was a gas station. Here's the deal. There are different laws and rules when it comes to dress code in the world, malls versus gas stations. When you go to a mall, I think you need to brush your hair, put on a shirt, and wear shoes. When you go to a gas station, at least where I come from, you can pretty much do whatever you want, and you fit in with the current crowd that's already there. You can go in your pajamas, you can go in your board shorts, it doesn't matter. So the idea of a gas station convenience store for me was the greatest thing ever, because I could actually go do my grocery shopping without wearing a shirt, and it would be completely acceptable, and this is my goal for shopping. So I was excited about it. There was just one little problem, and the problem was I still had to go and get up and get in my car and go to the grocery store, which wasn't great. So I thought to myself, you know what? If I ever become a multi-zillionaire, I'm going to have a convenience store in my house, because that way I can do shopping in my undies and it's fine, because then, you know, there's no pressure whatsoever. There's no pressure. I can just be in my house. And that's when this hit me, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest idea of all time. I still have to get off of the couch if it's in my house. So what if they designed an app where if I just think about the food in my head, it's in my mouth? I'm watching the big football game and I think to myself, cheese nachos right now would be amazing. Oh, cheese nachos. That would be the greatest thing ever. The Holy Spirit is a 24-hour convenience store that lives on the inside of you. And whatever it is you need in the moment that you need it, when your focus is on Christ, when you put your trust and your faith in Him, you gain access to all of those things that you need in your greatest time of need. We can have joy even when things are going terrible. I want to end off with one last little story, and I want to talk about in the shadow of the Almighty. The Bible says that when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So what does this mean exactly? What does this look like? Well, a couple of years ago, we decided we wanted to take our kids to the zoo because it sounded like a great idea. Now, Vanessa, my youngest one, is a lot like me. She's very pale. She doesn't tan. She goes lobster. Me and her both are like that. So you've got to protect her from the sun. So what we did was, is we bought her this beautiful little hat. We put it on her head. We went for the drive. And the next thing you know, I just heard the window go down in the car. She yanked the hat off her head and she flung it out the window. And we're hoping one day she'll do the discus in the Olympics. It was a great throw and it went flying, and I was upset, but at the same time kind of proud, because it was a really good throw. So anyways, we get to the zoo, and in the back of my head, I'm thinking to myself, well, the hat's gone, but obviously we have suntan lotion because it's a full day at the zoo, and What two parents would not pack suntan lotion? I mean, this is just how it works. So we get out of the car. I look at my wife. I say, hey, honey, so suntan lotion. And she goes, I don't have suntan lotion. You got the suntan lotion. And it turns out neither one of us had suntan lotion because we're not really organizers, me and my wife. We're very outgoing and friendly people. We're great at a party. We might not make it to the party because we might die on the way there because we are that unorganized and we don't really know what's going on. So we get to the zoo, and the zoo idea was great. Everything was great, but now there's no suntan lotion, and this is a problem, but that's not going to stop us from enjoying the zoo, so we're going to do this thing. So we start walking around, and I notice that there's a lot of trees at the zoo, very tree zoo. So I'm like, well, here's the deal. As long as I keep my little baby in the shade, in the trees, we'll look at all the beautiful, cute animals in the tree section. We'll be fine. So that's what we did. So for half the day, we're walking around and we're in the trees. And you know how it goes with kids. Eventually, she got bored and she said, listen, I'm done with these animals. I want to see the lions. Now, that's a great idea because lions are amazing. But the problem with the lion enclosure was the fact that they went for a Serengeti vibe. So there's no trees. There's no shade. It is like the Sahara Desert out there. So I think to myself, okay, well, all right, let's go. Let's figure this thing out and we'll make a plan. And we're busy walking and I'm sort of thinking about how we're going to do this. And as we're walking, I notice that when she got really close to me, she would step into my shadow. And during the time we were walking, as long as she was in my shadow, she would be protected from the sun. So I thought to myself, greatest dad ever. Here we go. Time for that moment where I just make magic happen. So I decide, here's what's going to happen. I'm not going to tell her about it, and she's not going to know about it, but I'm going to stick close enough to her at all times so that she remains in the protection of my shadow. Oh, you got to catch this. Those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You cannot abide in the shadow if He's not close enough to you. It is when your trust is in Jesus that God says, I am close enough to you now that you can actually be in the shadow of my protection. But here's what happens, right? So this is how we ask people, and this is what happens. So obviously, after a while, she figures out that I'm trying to keep her in my shadow. And as all kids do, she decides there's no ways this is going to happen because I just don't want you to win at anything in your life ever. So what starts to happen is she starts to go, hey, Dad, look, there's a bird. So I'm like, okay, alright, so now I'm running after. So then we'll both be running and she'll stop and she'll go, hey, out of your shadow. So now we're playing this little game. All of a sudden she'll do like a hop. Now I'm hopping because I'm like, I need to stay in her shadow. So next thing you know, she's crawling. I'm crawling. Everything she does, I'm busy doing because I'm like, I will not allow you to get out from under my shadow. So everything she does, the highs, the lows, the quick, the stops, I'm behind her all the time, chasing her, following her. It's in that moment where I just had this revelation where just God drops in my heart this truth today that we remain in His shadow because He is the one that takes responsibility for keeping us in His shadow. And it's even in the moments where we're not with Him. It's even in the moments where we try to step away. It's even in the moments when we find ourselves disobedient, when our trust is in Christ. God the Father says, I will run where you are running. I will crawl where you are crawling. I'll do the hopscotch. It looks stupid, but I'll do whatever it is I need to do to make sure that you stay in the shadow of my protection, of my love, of my grace. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. You are a part of the nothing. You are a part of the nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And here we are at Christmas time, and it's the story of Jesus coming down. It's the story of God coming down to where we are, stepping into our mess, stepping into our world, stepping into our context. And He says, I will be close to you. The responsibility does not lie on you to try to manufacture and to produce all kinds of things to get close to me. I will take the responsibility to get close to you. And as I walk with you, as I live with you, as I am with you, the consequence of that relationship will produce love in your life. It'll produce peace in your life. It will produce joy in your life. The band can come up this morning, and I'm going to end with one last little scripture here, and it's in Galatians. Galatians 20, verses 20, and it says, and it sums up this whole thing. Here is my question. How do you know you're in the shadow of the Almighty? How do you know? How do you know where you stand? How do you know where you are? Well, it's very simple. Every single time Vanessa stood in my shadow, a very interesting thing would happen. Her shadow would disappear. My shadow would overshadow her shadow. And all of a sudden, even though there were two of us, if you had to look on the ground, you would see one. And it was my shadow that overtook hers. Listen to what? Crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's when I walk in the secret place. It's when I'm with him. It's when I'm in relationship with him. It's when I spend time with him. It's when I trust him that what will start to happen is I will sound like him. Have you noticed that when you spend a lot of time with somebody, all of a sudden you say their little things? All of a sudden you have the same sense of humor. All of a sudden you start to kind of dress the same. All of a sudden, have you noticed that ever since I came on staff here, everybody looks better? It's just like everybody just looks better looking. It's like when you spend time with somebody, the automatic consequence of that is that you start to partake. You start to become the same. It is as we trust in Christ. It is as we dwell with him. It is as we walk with him where we start to morph into who he has called us to be. And what starts to happen in our lives is we start to feel love towards others that we never thought was possible. We start to feel like we're in a place where we can forgive that person that we never thought was possible. All of a sudden, the have-tos turn into want-tos. You no longer want to go to that place, and you no longer want to do those things. It's not that you don't have to, but it's like you don't want to. You want to be more like him because you are abiding in him. You are dwelling in the secret place. And as you do that, you start to partake from the fruit. And as you partake from the fruit, you start to evolve and you start to change from the inside out. I'm going to ask us to stand this morning. And we're going to think a little bit just about the fact that we're in Christmas season. Question this morning was, where do I go? Where do I run? Where do I hide? Where is this place I can go to find joy, to find peace, to find my refuge? Well, we don't have to go anywhere. It's because of where he went. He came down. He stepped into our lives. He pursued us. He created a secret place for us to hide in, to live in. And it is as we focus on him, it is as we trust in him, it is as we believe in him. It is no longer I who live, but as I live this life in the body through faith, I access his supernatural peace and his supernatural joy. Father, I want to thank you for peace in this place today. Lord, I want to pray right now. I just sense in my heart, Lord, that there are people in this place and they've been struggling, Lord, with all kinds of depression, all kinds of negative thoughts, all kinds of heaviness, Lord. Father, it doesn't matter how many times they've tried to get a good attitude or to choose to be happy, Father. I thank you this morning that we don't have to do the work, but we can rely on the finished work of the cross of Jesus this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you are the Prince of Peace. And I thank you, Father, that you dwell in our midst this morning. Thank you, Lord, that right now in this place, we can experience your love. We can experience your peace. I thank you, Father, that even though the storms of life might come, you are the one that calms the storm on the inside. Thank you right now, Lord, just for your goodness and for your love. We're going to sing one more song this morning, and I'm going to encourage you to, while we sing this song, just think about that for 2 minutes this morning. Think about what are the things that you're struggling with. Is it peace? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it self-control? Is it kindness? Is it goodness? Where are the areas that you're falling short? Where are the areas that you've tried to manufacture and produce these things in your own ability, but you have failed? Come to the point this morning where you realize that you will never be able to do it by yourself. But thank God this morning we have access to supernatural fruit because of a supernatural God that came down to be with us. And then as we sing the song, let's thank him for that this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for that this morning. Thank you, Father, that as we sing this last song this morning, you will just do some special things in this place. Just move on people's hearts, Father. Do the things that only you can do, the things that we could never do, no matter how hard we tried. Thank you, Father.